Chart note, John. Patient reports feeling stressed out and states that he is having difficulty sleeping and getting along with his wife. Expresses annoyance with others and seeks help managing the idiots. Have compassion. Deep breath. Have compassion. Have compassion. Have compassion. I'm repeating this phrase in my head like a mantra as the 40-year-old man sitting across from me is telling me about all of the people in his life who are idiots. Why, he wants to know, is the world filled with so many idiots? Are they born this way? Do they become this way? Maybe, he muses, it has something to do with all the artificial chemicals that are added to the food we eat nowadays. That's why I try to eat organic, he says, so I don't become an idiot like everyone else. I'm losing track of which idiot he's talking about. The dental hygienist who asks too many questions, none of them rhetorical. The coworker who only asks questions. He never makes statements, because that would imply that he had something to say. The driver in front of him who stopped at a yellow light. No sense of urgency. The Apple technician at the Genius Bar who couldn't fix his laptop. Some genius. John, I begin. But he's starting to tell a rambling story about his wife. I can't get a word in edgewise, even though he has come to me for help. I, by the way, am his new therapist. His previous therapist, who lasted just 3 sessions, was nice, but an idiot.
Hello?
Special Agent Shannon Moss?
She didn't recognize the man's voice, though she recognized the drawl on the vowels. He'd grown up around here. West Virginia or Pennsylvania. Rural.
This is Moss,
she said.
Family's been killed.
A quaver in his voice.
Washington County Dispatch logged the 911 a little after midnight. There's a missing girl.
2 a.m. But the news was like an ice bath. She was fully awake now.
Who am I speaking with?
Special Agent Philip Nestor, he said. FBI.
She turned on her bedside lamp. Cream-colored wallpaper patterned with vines and cornflower blue roses covered her bedroom walls. She traced the lines with her eyes, thinking.
Why my involvement? She asked.
My understanding's that our SAC communicated with HQ, and they instructed him to involve you,
said Nestor.
They want NCIS assistance. Our primary is a Navy SEAL.
Where?
Cannonsburg, on a street called Cricketwood Court, just off Hunter's Creek,
he said. Hunting Creek. She knew Hunting Creek. Cricketwood Court. Her best friend growing up had lived on that street. Courtney Gim. The image of Courtney's face floated from Moss's memory like ice surfacing through water.
Enid. I'm her girl, the second, the baby, or third, if you count my brother. We live in Blacksburg, Virginia, on a dead end by the old paved-over railroad tracks. The calendar page hanging in Ma's kitchen is a fluffy dog, white and black like a cow, with her paws on her snout like she was naughty. Little muddy paw prints spell out July 1982 across the top. I like the calendar. Even if Vivi thinks it's for babies. Vivi is Vivian, because even her nickname is beautiful. She is older by almost 3 years. I'm 10, and she's almost 13. Ma wanted us separated 3 years perfect, but I was preemie. Vivi says I'm squishy dough because Ma didn't cook me long enough, but I'm not smaller than she is. I'm thick like Daddy, who says that's a sturdy way of living. Vivi says it's being fat. Once, she started to blow away in a wind tunnel in Chicago, pulled up into the snowy air. Vivi likes thinking of herself as someone who can easily blow away. One time, she said if I were with her there again in that wind tunnel, the two of us holding hands, I'd be her anchor and keep her safe.